This is Ozarks at Large. For years, Brenda Hancock and her sister heard the stories about their mother's life in France before, during, and after World War II. Those stories included her narrow escape from occupied Paris, her involvement with the French Resistance, and meeting the love of her life. Brenda wanted to make sure her mother's life was committed to paper, and she first attempted to write those stories down in the 1980s.
I had written some fluff stuff, and I thought, well, the serious thing is to get mother's story down. And I started with some memories, and I guess I embellished them. She looked at what I wrote, and she said, well, this is a beautiful story, but it's not true. It's not mine. So I went and threw it away.
But then Brenda wrote a poem for her mother, Nicole Holland, about Nicole's life. Nicole was touched by the words and agreed to dictate the events of her life to Brenda. The result is the new book, One of the Lucky Ones. Last week, Brenda Hancock and Nicole Holland came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about the first part of the book and about Nicole Holland's remarkable story. Brenda Hancock lives in Fayetteville, and her mother, Nicole Holland, now lives in Springdale. Nicole says she considered much of her life to be lucky, including the years before the war began. Her family lived in Paris in a building with a unique design. The first floor had no apartments, but was a large space designed with children of the building in mind.
It was a different place. It was special for the children. There was a huge kitchen and two big rooms with tables and chairs. The first things we did have to go when we come in from school is to sit down. Well, we go up to our apartment. Our mothers give us a snack. We would go down and we do our homework first. And then we clear up the tables and put some chairs around, and there's two ladies who were with us. There was like big sister, and they start to tell us stories about the Bible, and also tell us we were singing.
It was, she remembers, an idyllic time. Many of the children would walk to and from school together. And since the neighborhood had a diverse population, the school would close for both Jewish and Christian holidays.
And it was wonderful when you're a child. It's wonderful.
Things changed dramatically in 1939. Nicole and her siblings were spread out around France on the date that the French declared war on Germany. Nicole Holland remembers the exact date.
It was the 3rd of September, 1939. And my two sisters and I were in Colville. My mother and daddy was in Paris. My younger brother was in Cabourg, which is in Normandy also. And he was already acting. And he went singing. He was the youngest one, but he was 12 then. Oh, younger than that. And he did have a contract to entertain in a casino.
Nicole and her older sister, Helene, were in a nearby town for their usual late summer visit. They were both in their late teens. Many people in Paris were fleeing the city, but Nicole and her sister, unable to find jobs outside of Paris, convinced their parents they should come back. It's another date that sticks in Nicole's memory, June 14, 1940, the day the Germans came into Paris. She was standing in front of the courthouse for the 4th District of Paris.
And suddenly we heard trucks, and we saw some tanks with a swastika on it. And we stood there right in front of the big courthouse, the main courthouse of all Paris. And we couldn't believe it. We started crying because we saw our flag going down and the German flag going up. And we stood there. And then we saw, my sister saw two trucks full of prisoners.
Nicole's sister, Helene, incredibly moved toward the French prisoners in the trucks. Nicole says this was not unusual. She says her sister was a strong, brave young woman.
She wasn't scared of anybody. I guess if the devil itself would come in, she would fight him. But she saw that, and she saw the German standing guard to the trucks. She didn't have cigarettes in her purse. So she got her cigarette out, and she gave them to the prisoners. And when the people who were standing there and Paris, they run to the stores and get some food and wine and give them to the prisoners. So my sister said, we were with a friend of her, we were sleeping the night. My sister said, let's get their name of the prisoner and address. And we sent some letters to the family, knowing They're not dead.
Nicole says they spent the entire night writing letters to the families of those prisoners. They couldn't write about where those men were going. They didn't know. But they could at least let the families know they were still alive. She says life during the occupation was confusing and unsettling. There were rumors and speculation, and many people were uncertain whether they should stay or go. In 1941, Nicole and the other members of her family in Paris had to register with authorities since they were Jewish.
And we did have to wear the Star of David on our clothes. So we did have to sew it up. And my sister was taking courses. No, she was taking dramatic
acting lessons.
Yes. And then I found a job with a doctor, and I was in the office. And he heard, in 1942, he heard there's going to be a big roundup in Paris of all the Jews. And they'd done it before, but this one was the 16th of July, 1942. And the doctor come in and he said, you cannot go home. Because I was wearing, and he wasn't a Jew. Yeah, I was wearing the Star of David. And he said, go home and get one of your sisters to come and spend the night with you. You're going to stay in the office.
Nicole and her younger sister, Madeline, stayed in the doctor's office during the curfew hours, when Jews could not be on the streets between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. Just after the curfew broke, one of Nicole's brothers came to the doctor's office with terrifying news. Germans had been to the family's apartment.
My younger brother came and tell us, don't come home. They're Gardelin, and they're looking for you. So don't come home.
Helene had been taken into custody, and Nicole's employer, the doctor, helped Nicole remove every stitch of the yellow Star of David from her dress so Nicole could leave Paris. She did, but anxiety about the fate of her family made the 19-year-old Nicole return. Her mother, worried that Nicole would be taken like her older sister, arranged for Nicole to spend the nights in an apartment upstairs with another woman. Every time there was a knock at the door, everybody jumped. Nicole says the strain was too much, and plans were made to leave again. It was August 4th, 1942, and the plans were created for Nicole, her nephew, who was the same age, and another young woman to leave the city. The Stars of David were again removed from clothing, and Nicole and her nephew, Marcel, tried to take on the appearance of students on an overnight trip. Her mother walked them to a bridge near the train station and then kissed Nicole goodbye. The plan was Nicole would get word back that she was safe and her mother could send her more clothes, but it would be the last time Nicole would see her mother. Our conversation last week had already lasted more than 45 minutes when we reached this part of Nicole's story, when she had left Paris and would not return to the city until after the war. There is so much more to the story, how Nicole was asked to join the French resistance and did so, delivering messages that helped the underground, including information that perhaps in a small way aided in the explosion of a German train. She also writes about meeting her future husband, an American serviceman, and her eventual move with him to Texas. So many stories, she says, but too many to tell in just one sitting.
You're going to have to buy the book and read it. It is, you know, unreal because there's so much happen in between.
Nicole's daughter, Brenda Hancock, wrote the book, One of the Lucky Ones, by writing down what her mother had told her for so many years. The book is written in first person, as if Nicole was telling us the story now, as if we were seated at her kitchen table.
Because it was meant to be for my children, my sister's children, our grandchildren. My sister has a great-granddaughter now. And we wanted our children and their children to know Mimi's stories, to know where they came from, the strength of the genes that they had flowing through their bodies, you know, that this little lady was incredible and that they are a part of her. And through learning about her, through basically sitting and listening to those same stories, that perhaps they would learn, like she, to take not, it's not what happens to you in life, it's how you respond to what happens that makes all the difference in the world. And so that was the main purpose, is so that the generations of her descendants could learn that same lesson from her that we learned, my sister and I learned. So that's why I wrote it, I did this and I did that, because I wanted them to feel they were at the table.
It is a remarkable story of courage, perseverance, and adventure. She describes herself at the beginning of the war as a naive young woman, not yet ready for the cold, harsh realities of the world. By the end, she survived the war, moved to a completely foreign land, and taught herself English while living in Texas, and then helps raise a family.
Here's the thing. My mother was different from every other Texas mother, but she was the only mother I had. And so that was normal for me. It was normal for me to have a mother that spoke a little differently. It was normal for me to have this mother with all these stories. That's what I knew. And so, no, I didn't realize. In fact, even after I wrote this, I did not realize how amazing she was until, was it a year ago, 2 years ago? A friend said, you really need to read Sarah's Key, which is a novel. And I went to the library and I opened it up and it starts July 16th, 1942. And I went, oh, wait. So I had gotten in the habit of reading stories aloud to Mother. And so I said, Mother, let's read this one. And I started reading Sarah's Key. And of course, we cried through the whole thing. And when I saw what happened to Sarah, I mean, Sarah's story paralleled Mother's. She lost a brother that she felt like it was her fault. Well, they came for Mother and Aunt Ellen at the same time. They took Ellen and she died. Mother did not. Sarah and Mother both married an American, came to America after the war, had children. But then Sarah never overcame. She never could get past it. And it was at that point that I realized that this is an amazing little lady. Not only did she survive, not only did she fight back against the Germans, but she came to a country where she could not speak the language. She made a new life. She raised two daughters to be non-prejudiced.
An amazing story, but one filled with tragedy. When Nicole returned to Paris, only one of the 13 members of her immediate family had survived the war and the concentration camps, her younger brother, Robert. Many of the children she had walked to school with before the war didn't survive either.
And I always wonder what would have happened to all those children. There probably would have been doctors and I don't know what else. But only five come back. Four boys and two girls.
Decades later, at age 90, it is hard for Nicole to understand why such horrors could have been committed.
My parents wasn't spared either, with my older sister and her two children and her husband and my younger brother and a little boy who lived in the apartment house, and his family was gone, and Mother took him in. And he didn't want to go with my younger sister, who was still in France. And she begged him to go with Madeleine and to go to Marseille and be with his brother. He said, no. He called my mother and he said, Madame Vierman, I'm going with you. Maybe I can see my mother and my sisters. And he went with my mother. And he went to the gas chamber with my mother.
Nicole Holland's life in Paris and France before and during World War II is told in the new book, One of the Lucky Ones, written by her daughter, Brenda Hancock. Nicole lives in Springdale. Brenda lives in Fayetteville. They both came to our studio last week. Both women will discuss the book at Barnes & Noble in Fayetteville on Thursday, July 25th at 7 p.m. This is Ozarks at Large.